Yeah, it is kind of weird. Is it better now?
A little bit. Keep talking.
Is the sound still blocked? So I'm. Oh, wait. So this is actually the AirPods as mics.
Yeah, it's better than it was, but
Is it okay?
we're getting occasional problems.
Okay. This is back to the icicle. It should be. I mean, to the hail. Is it still not
Now
great?
it seems okay.
Yeah, it seems like it
Okay.
was before.
So I did manage to connect to the AirPods with a little bit of finicking as headphones, but
Yeah, you seem stable. Your connection seems stable now.
okay. Yeah, I'll take them off afterwards. It's just to try and see.
No, we're going to be talking about it, so why not? This is a good test.
They still look kind of silly.
Well, you need to accessorize, properly.
Yeah, that's the problem. I need my I'm not accessorized properly for my AirPods, is what Steve Jobs would say.
Right, obviously.
All right, I'll disconnect them and get back to the headphones and regular stuff.
Okay. And there they go, folks.
And now we're back.
And we're back. I'm trying something different too. I don't know if you noticed.
You're not wearing the same clothes?
I am wearing a hoodie with my sport coat.
Yeah. That's what I realized. I wasn't sure. It felt very Sunday-y.
It's I've still got the sport jack, the suit coat on. But I'm wearing a hoodie with a suit coat. What? Talk about not accessorizing, right?
That's crazy. Tom,
So
you're cray
crazy.
cray.
Well, that's what the kids say.
Cray. He's like a
Is it
crayfish.
though? Is it though what the kids say? Is
Is
it what
it
they say?
really what the kids
Is it?
say?
That phrase has had to be usurped by something else already.
What
That
the
was like
kids say?
give
Cray
him no
Oh,
cray
cray
cray.
cray.
That
Yeah.
was like
Oh,
so what,
yeah. Well,
7, 8 years
I did
ago?
notice, and my connection to this is purely through Eileen's connection to younger people, but it started to just be cray, not cray cray.
Oh yeah, it's been cray for
Yeah,
what, three,
and
four
so
years?
I think cray may also have just kind of fallen by the wayside recently. We'll keep you up to date, folks, as word comes in.
As to the youngsters' parlance.
I'm looking forward to our chat about wireless.
Yeah, it's a world I'm exploring now. I just got a Philips Hue kit with a couple of light bulbs and a sensor, and I'm finding that there are a lot of things that kinks that need to be worked out still.
Kind
Many.
of, and I don't think this takes too much away from the show to talk about it now, but kind of see smart bulbs as really expensive timers, to be honest. Like, they can do some cool things, but they don't do them reliably.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I like is that I can have it turn on at sunset, right? Which is something I couldn't do with the normal timer. I'd have to keep adjusting it. But I can say, turn on my lights as soon as the sun goes down, and they do it.
So that I didn't find how to do. It's only like at a specific time.
But I'm using LifeX, so I don't know if that's a thing LifeX
Ah,
does that
okay.
Philips doesn't or what.
Because my problem with it is I have a light bulb in the bathroom, which is also the toilet. And if I use that light bulb with a motion detector, since my apartment is small, it takes like 1 to 5 minutes to turn off. And also when I'm in the shower, it turns off
Turns
in the middle
off,
of the
yeah.
yeah. And so, but if I just use the regular switch, it doesn't remember where I set the bulb. the base for some reason doesn't know to remember where the bulb was set, so it turns back up to the maximum all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's annoying. I've had that happen with the LifeX sometimes, where they'll just constantly forget what temperature color, what color temperature they were set to.
Well, yeah, for this one, it does it. They're like every time you turn it off, if you turn it back on, it defaults to max power of everything.
No, that's no good.
So yeah, it's still.
Sometimes I think smart switches are better than smart bulbs, but you don't get you can't do disco lights with smart switches, I don't think.
Well, if you have both, I'm thinking maybe I should get a smart switch, and that's the way to go. But then you have to start replacing the switches.
Well, sometimes you need to write wires too. Some of the, at least here in the US, some of them need the four wires, which most newer homes built in the last 20 years have, but anything older, like my house, won't have. Mm-hmm. So I get that. I have it's not necessarily smart, but it's a photosensitive light bulb adapter.
It's not smart, but it's clever.
It's aware. So basically when the sun's, so what I do is I have an outside porch light and I screw that adapter into the light socket and the light bulb goes into the adapter.
Oh yeah. No,
that's and cool. So when the sun comes up, it turns off. Mm-hmm. And then when it goes down, as long as the light switch is on, it'll turn sensor. On.
Yeah. That's cool.
It's $6. I can't complain.
$6. Let's do video.
Those industrious Chinese/Southeast Asian or Mexican or whatever.
Those are two different things.
Is it, Tom? It may not be in 20 years.
Is it?
If I know geography, maybe I don't.
You don't.
Those are two different things. Ah, yes. The Internet of Timers, says Shane. That's great.
Oh, speaking of timers.
So we have to figure out this whole Twitch thing. I don't have any announcements or solutions, but everybody's streaming on Twitch now, talk shows. And guess what this is? A talk show. So, I don't know. We're on.
Are you going to start streaming on Twitch?
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's there, right? No reason not to.
You should ask Jen Cutter, because she is super on Twitch.
All right. Do that. Basically, I have to figure out how to, because here's the thing that keeps me using Hangouts is the automatic switching. Nothing else does the automatic switching. So
what switch? Oh, right.
Yeah. I don't want to stop streaming the way I currently stream. But if I can figure out another way to put that video out to Twitch, no reason not to. As long as it doesn't impact anything on this side. And then I'm talking to Dark Redeemer about stuff to make it easier on diamondclub.tv to use the video. So maybe there's a solution that helps me do both, right? Like I stream to one and then push out to the others or something.
Well, Twitch is supposed to be about video games still. It's not. And
no, the talk shows thing isn't.
No, the talk shows is supposed to be video games about talk shows. Talk shows about video games.
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I'm 98% sure.
Well, there's always the 2%. That means I...
Yeah, right. That's true. That's why I didn't say 100.
I mean, I know it's talk shows, but
Dark Redeemer says that Diamond Club is already streamed to Twitch. So maybe I'm saying a thing that I don't need to bother about.
Okay. Oh well, Knots says that they changed and it's about anything for the talk shows now. Yeah. All right.
That was just a few days ago.
Oh,
well, they launched a new talk shows section.
I'm not up with all the latest. No.
Yeah, we talked about it on Thursday, I think it was.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
I saw the vlog. They have a vlog thing, but that's different. Yeah.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, but it's vlogs. It's not talk shows.
They call it vlogs. Twitch Talk, and it's for talk shows that don't have to do with games. And everyone who's writing about it says it's for vloggers. Because they couldn't think of a word for us, because they don't want to say podcasters, because it's video. Okay.
All right, well, fine then. You win this one, Merit, and not, and Twitch.
All right.
But I'll be back.
I'll be back.
There's a giant party happening at the floor right under us, so I hope first I hope you don't hear it.
I haven't heard it yet. So that's a good sign. Okay.
And second of all, I might be roped into it mid-show. So don't, you know, be surprised if I disappear and I go out like dancing.
Okay. All right. Fair warning. Warning has been given.
And Tom, I will let you know that the European Commission.
Yeah.
That's a control when you get it.
Oh, crap. Sorry. Oh,
wow. It's already time.
Yeah.
It flies.
I'm trying to get us started here.
Sorry.
All right. You got control. And I've got control. And we're going to start. Here we go. Daily Tech News Show is powered by you, the audience. To find out how to support the show, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, December 20th, 2016. I'm Tom Merritt, Patrick Beja alongside my co-pilot on Tuesdays as we fly you through the intricacies of the world of technology.
Wow, that was beautifully put, Tom. I'm proud to be part of that flight session.
Are we ready for takeoff, Patrick?
All sensors indicate that we are. I'm really not a good co-pilot.
We'll work on this metaphor. I like the play-by-play metaphor I was doing during baseball season, but it doesn't seem appropriate in December, so I had to come up with something else. We have a lot of pilots in the audience. I'm sure they can help us decide what we should probably say.
As bad as I was to that co-pilot metaphor, I might have been worse on the baseball thing, so it's a good thing we didn't do that.
Oh, no, you got your crash course in baseball when you came out for BlizzCon, so we're all good.
It's true.
Instagram has added Snapchat-like stickers that display location, time, weather, emojis, along with the ability to save stories from the last 24 hours in their continuing pursuit to become Snapchat. Eventually, they're gonna change their logo to a ghost and move to Venice Beach and all kinds of stuff. Twitter has changed search results to display by order of relevance rather than chronology. So that's the same as your timeline now. And Facebook launched live audio in partnership with select publishers like the BBC and HarperCollins for now, but they say they'll eventually bring it to everyone. So not just Facebook Live video, Facebook Live audio. Now here are...
You said Twitter, it was by relevance, not chronology, and it's the same as your timeline now. Mm-hmm. The timeline is not by relevance. It's still by chronology, except for the you might have missed blah, blah, blah.
No, that's what I'm talking about. The timeline is no longer strictly chronology. They have a relevance at the top. And that same thing is powering your search results now.
The small section of your
thought content. You had me, didn't you? All right, let's get to the rest of the top stories. Bloomberg sources, this is a Mark Gurman effort, by the way. Bloomberg sources report that the Mac gets less attention than it once did inside of Apple. Bloomberg sources also say a new battery for the MacBook Pro failed a key test, meaning an older design needed to be used. That pulled people away from other Mac projects, and that's why the battery life in the MacBook Pro isn't as good as people had expected. The sources also indicate that in 2017, Apple will add USB-C ports and an AMD graphics card, a new one, to the iMac, and deliver minor bumps in processing power for the 12-inch MacBook and MacBook Pro. So before we get to Tim Cook's response to this, this is kind of carrying out the idea that, hey, you know what? The Mac makes up 10% of the sales, but it doesn't need as much attention as it used to. At least that's what Apple thinks.
Yeah, I mean, we probably need to get to Tim Cook's response if we want to, because we might repeat the same things. One thing I find interesting is that even when we're talking about Bloomberg, we feel the need to mention that it's Gurman's piece. He's become such a prominent voice. What he's done is pretty incredible as a blogger. You know, very few have reached that level. So I just wanted to mention.
No, it's fair. I didn't write his name down because Bloomberg sources is what I always write. But because it was Gurman and I knew that, I felt like I should let people know that it's Gurman, like, because he's so good at this. And that will change their opinion of the, you know, veracity of these sources, because he's got such a good record.
Even, you know, if it's Bloomberg, you're like, yeah, they're probably reliable.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah,
if it's Gurman, you're like, oh, well, then it's definitely, you know, there's some meat behind it for sure.
So tell us, like you said, let's find out Tim Cook's response possibly to this story, but certainly to the topic.
Right. So in response, CEO Tim Cook posted an Apple employee message board, quote, "We have great desktops in our roadmap. Nobody should worry about that." He went on to write that desktop computers are, quote, "really important and in some cases critical to people. In the same post, Cook also talked about how Apple doesn't do things, quote, because they're a return on investment. We don't do it because we know exactly how we're going to use it. We do it because it's clear, it's interesting, and it might lead somewhere. So the first part, what he's saying is basically, yeah, we have desktops are really important. Don't worry, guys. And the thing is, there is no way he can say anything else. However, it's one of those cases where actions speak a lot louder than word. And when you see what's happened with the Mac Pro and also the, you know, other desktops, it's kind of difficult to take him seriously anymore. He said that right before they introduced the Mac Pro, which was, you know, a good retort at the time, but hasn't been updated in like 3 years. It's not even about getting a new design. It's just about updating the specs. You can't pretend that you care about this and not update it for 3.5 years or however long it's been. So his words carry very little weight to me at this point.
I think that Business Insider brought up something interesting too. They were parsing through this post and noting that in Gurman's article on Bloomberg, he reports that the Mac OS and iOS teams are one team now. And if you work on both operating systems, you're iOS first. And we've all kind of known that Apple definitely seems to want to make Mac OS more like iOS over time. But Business Insider points out that he doesn't say Mac in his response to this employee question. He only refers to the Mac OS once in reference to a particular release. He seems to be avoiding the word Mac, or maybe he just left it out subconsciously, but either way, it seems odd to answer a question about desktops without saying something about Macs are great. You know, we've got some great Macs in the roadmap. I don't want to overinterpret this to mean that they're going to stop making Macs, but he doesn't seem to be thinking about desktops as Macs at this point. I think that is an interesting tea leaf that Business Insider was reading.
I think that's a little bit too much reading into it, honestly. I mean, it's not the only other explanation, unless they have something weird in the works, is that iOS might somehow become a desktop product. And I really don't see that happening anytime soon, personally.
I guess the part that makes sense to me is he's referred to the iPad Pro as the competitor to the Microsoft Surface.
No, but that would mean like he's saying desktops, but what he really means is the iPad Pro, right? So I think he's not being that disingenuous. If he's talking about desktops on an Apple, you know, answering an Apple employee that's asking about desktops, he's not going to be like, hey, you know, like 6 months ago when I said we had great desktops in the works, here you go, iPad Pro 2. You know, that seems like a slap.
No, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm just thinking they may not be imagining the future of laptops and desktops the way we are as Macs and iPads. They may be thinking of some kind of merged future somehow.
Well, okay. I don't think that's the case. What I think is going to happen is that they're going to have updates to the desktops and even laptop Macs. But even though, you know, it's ironic because their business has never been bigger for desktop computers and laptop computers, but basically Mac OS. As the company has grown immensely with the mobile division, the personal computing business has also grown, but not as fast, of course. And yet, it seems like it's less of their focus, and it's normal in a way. I do, however, think that we're going to see an update to all of their line in 2017, including the Mac Pro. But if it's just updated now and doesn't get updated again on a regular basis, then it's still underwhelming. And I think, unfortunately, that's what we're going to see happening as the core of their business. Let's not even, you know, talk about focus. It doesn't really matter. The core of their business, to the tune of like 80%, is iOS and mainly the iPhone. So it's normal. It's still a little bit sad, but you know what? That's the way things go.
Yeah, and I think that later part of his answer where he talks about we don't do things because there's a return on investment is both heartening and frightening if you're an Apple fan, because that is what you want them to do. You want them to just make great things, but we haven't seen them make something like that in a while. And AirPods, which we're going to talk about lately, might be the most recent example, but they really haven't put out a lot of things that really change the game. Now, that may change next year, right? That may change soon. But for the moment, it seems like they're pursuing things that interest them without paying enough attention to the things that got them here. And in the pursuit of, well, iOS sounds like the future for us, so let's move the Macs towards that, they're letting some balls drop, including battery, according to Gurman. My backlight is broken, and they couldn't even fix it. They're just going to swap it out. There's all kinds of little stories that give you the inkling that the quality focus may not be as high as it used to be.
I honestly don't think so. I think the backlight thing, you got a faulty model that happens. What they're saying about the batteries is that they had a new type of batteries. They did the tests they should have done, and they found out it still needed a little bit of work. So they decided to use older battery technology to get the new models out. They're still pretty good. They've always not done... Everyone expects the iPhone or the iPad every year now. And I think it's never going to happen, you know, or, you know, it's going to happen once every 10 years. But the point he's making about we don't do things because they're a good return on investment, we do them because they're interesting. I don't know how much I believe that. I'm sure they're pursuing lots of interesting things, but it's really not that hard to put out a new model of the Mac Pro every year and a half with upgraded specs. And that's really all people are talking about here. iMacs and Mac Pros with updated specs. And we're not seeing those. You know, we're not just talking about the Mac. We're talking about the desktop. That's my point.
Like, the easy things, the focus is not there.
Yeah. Well, and maybe that's a business thing, because as we know, the laptops constitute a major part of the computing business now, you know, the actual real computers. And maybe they don't need to worry about the desktops all that much. And the few people who still care about those are left hanging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why they're mad. Because that seems to be the attitude. All right, let's move on to Uber. An Uber spokesperson told The Guardian that Uber is working on fixing a flaw in its autonomous driving software that can cause unsafe turns into bicycle lanes. San Francisco Bicycle Coalition Executive Director Brian Wiedenmeyer was taking a preview ride in the Ubers a couple of days before they started testing them on the streets in San Francisco, and twice watched as the autonomous car turned right, cutting through a bike lane instead of merging over into a bike lane. And the reason you want to do the merge is if there's a bike there that isn't seen by the sensors, it's easier for the bike to avoid hitting, whereas a harder right turn has a bigger chance of hitting a bike. Wiedenmeyer said he warned Uber of the issue after that preview ride, but Uber didn't fix it in time and started the tests anyways, and he's fairly critical about them.
As he should be. I think, you know, there are two factors here. First of all, I told you so. I mean, they told them so. And second of all, they didn't get the damn permit. And I understand
the
logic.
They don't need the permit. I know. We've talked about that previously, but right. they don't think they need it. Yeah.
Right. They don't. And I understand the logic with the Tesla thing and whatever. The problem is, if you don't have a permit and you get into an accident, it's 10 times as bad. And I don't understand why Uber, who has had so many issues with public perception, is not paying more attention to things like these. To, you know, the guys who like bikes, especially in hipster town San Francisco, they tell them, guys, maybe be careful about this part. And they're like, they do it anyway. And why? I mean, thank God for them, for Uber, that they didn't get into an accident, because that would have made it, again, 10 times worse.
Well, to be fair, getting a permit doesn't change this at all. Like, if they had a permit and they hit a bicyclist, it would be just as bad.
Like, no, it wouldn't.
Yes, it would.
No, because at least they got the permit. If you don't even have
the
permit...
How does it change anything?
Because you're doing it illegally and the town didn't...
Well, no, what Uber's arguing is that this is like someone driving a car. If someone driving a car takes a hard right turn and hits a bicycle, that's what this situation is. If they get the permit, it actually shields them, I guess, a little bit from liability, saying this is testing, but it's actually worse because now an autonomous car under permit hit someone versus them having to say, oh, you know what? It was the driver's fault. The driver's responsible, not the rig.
What I'm saying is, for anyone else, you would be right, but for Uber, who has had a history of issues and public perception is different for them, I think it's just so simple to fix these little things.
Totally agree with you there. Like, I still don't understand why they don't pay the $150 to get the permit. It's not going to make them more liable. It really does seem like they're just mad at California because California's given them a hard time, and that's where they're based.
It's so petty. Yeah. It's so petty. That's what irks me. I mean, even if you're convinced you're right, you know you have a public perception issue and you're trying to fix it. Why not just do what you need to fix it? You're running a business, not trying to show you're the biggest kid in school. Anyway, it's kind of silly in my opinion.
Yeah. But at least they are working on fixing it. Hope they fix
it. Well, thank God. Yeah. If they weren't, then like, no, we know we have a problem here and we're not going to fix it. Right. Okay. The European Commission has sent a statement of objections to Facebook over its acquisition of WhatsApp in 2014. The EC says Facebook said during the acquisition that it would be unable to match user accounts between its social network and WhatsApp. However, the WhatsApp privacy policy has changed in August to allow sharing of WhatsApp user phone numbers with Facebook. Facebook has until January 31st to respond. I'm guessing you're drafting Facebook's response.
I am right now. Dear European Commission, I would like you to know. So we should point out that Facebook has suspended that privacy policy change in Europe because of this investigation.
Is it only in Germany or the entirety of Europe?
I can't. That's a good question. I don't recall exactly, but they are holding off on changing it in some part because they did say they can't match user accounts. This almost starts to feel like the Uber thing, like, well, but it isn't an autonomous car. And they're saying, but we didn't match user accounts. We matched phone numbers. That's different. And the European Commission is saying, how is that different? You're taking a phone number from one user account and matching it to a phone number from another user account, which then matches the user accounts.
You know, I'm often ambivalent about the way the European Commission goes after big American companies, especially American. I think in this case, they should really take it seriously. Privacy has become a very important issue for many. And in there, it's the kind of red-handed mistake, or not even. I'm sure they were genuine initially when they said we can't really, you know, merge the two. But this is not something that the Europeans are going to let go. And it's something that they're, you know, they have a right to be concerned about. And I think Facebook and others should start taking this privacy issue seriously, because I don't think it's going to get better.
Yeah. And I think people do exaggerate what Facebook wants to do here. Facebook doesn't want to take your WhatsApp account and merge it with your Facebook account. All it wants to do is say, hey, if we know that you are this user and you're also on Facebook, we want to be able to use it for anti-spam and for contact matching, so that if you want to add a contact, it's easier for us to go, oh yeah, you do know that person. We can verify you know that because we see these phone numbers match. That isn't terribly malicious, in my opinion. However, it does mean that you're sharing information. And there's the question of, okay, that's what you're using it for now. You could, once you've logged this, use it for other things in the future if you change your privacy policy again, which Facebook can rightly say, but we won't. And if we do, you can hold us our feet to the fire then. We're not doing that now. But I think regarding the European Commission, this definitely contains a link between the accounts. I think Facebook's taking a very, like, oh, but it doesn't merge the accounts, and that's what we meant. And the European Commission is saying, well, what we meant was there would be no touching of the data whatsoever.
And the thing is, there's a little bit of a, you know, camel and backs and straws happening here. It's at some point, there's only so much fudging what you mean and what other people mean. And maybe it wasn't even Facebook. It's like all of the big, and to me personally, I don't see a problem. I even think it's going to make a more usable product. But at some point, it doesn't really matter that it makes a more usable product. There has to be clear lines, especially with people who are annoyed with you and your practices in other areas of the law in Europe. It needs to be a little bit more clean, I think, if they want to continue doing business unhindered.
Security firm White Ops reported Tuesday that a botnet called MethBot, I didn't mispronounce that, it's M-E-T-H, MethBot, has been used to gain $3 to $5 million in ad revenue per day, an estimate, since October. The exploit spoofs premium publisher domains and then runs real ads on fake pages so that it can collect the revenue. MethBot operates from 800 to 1,200 dedicated servers and data servers around the world. They use leased IP addresses to mask the fake ad calls so they appear to come from residential ISPs to get around fraud protection. They generate 200 to 300 million video ad impressions per day, faking clicks, mouse movements, and even social network logins so that they appear to be engaged consumers. The Trustworthy Accountability Group, which is an industry consortium that monitors this sort of thing, is sharing a blacklist of those IP addresses with major ad companies to try to fight this. This is obviously, you know, the ongoing war. You do one thing and the other side does another. But what a complex approach. But if it gets you $3 to $5 million a day, I guess it's worth it.
It is really fascinating. I mean, it's a bot network that sort of engineers its entirely new and own ecosystem to just get clicks on ads that are genuine. You know, it's basically just an entire front to get a revenue stream from ads. And my mind went to a slightly weird place for this. It went to imagine if there was some kind of, in 10, 20, 30 years, some kind of sentient AI, how would they finance their taking over of the human society? I'm sure they would end up doing things like these, because stealing money directly from bank accounts would be way too visible. This is magical.
Yeah.
It generates income from fake pages, but real ads. And it's genius.
It takes advantage of the automatic nature of advertising to say, hey, all we have to do is display the ad and have an account linked to it. And then we can get the money. And as long as we can get that money out before they realize which account is us, boom, we got $3 to $5 million. It's crazy. No, this will be how Skynet is financed. Guaranteed.
And finally, I tore down the new Apple AirPods and found small glued-in lithium batteries that make recycling difficult. Earbuds are normally shredded for recycling, but the batteries pose a risk of fire in that process. Removing the batteries would be costly. Apple does accept returns of the earphones for recycling.
Yeah, basically these things are not repairable, according to iFixit. And they say, yeah, it would be difficult to recycle because you don't want to shred up the batteries because they blow up and cause a fire, and that's a problem. But going in there and having to unglue them and remove them before recycling would be really labor intensive. Maybe somebody's willing to do that, but that's a pretty costly way to recycle. So they're not terribly easy to recycle, put it that way.
I think they're 0 on 10 on repairability, yeah, which is almost, you know, Apple products and often smartphones have a very low score, but 0, I don't think I've ever seen before. But the answer is simple. Bring them back to your Apple store. And I really think Apple is going to be recycling them properly. And they should make it very clear that you should return them to the Apple store, because if they take care of it, I'm fine.
I do not have mistrust of Apple on this issue, but I would like to know how they intend to recycle these. Because this is incredibly difficult. I would like to see some transparency, particularly into AirPods. Like, okay, how are you going to do this? Are you just spending the money to recycle them? You guys, piles of cash. Maybe that's what you're doing, but I'd like to know that.
Yeah, I think it would really be a great PR move for Apple to say, hey guys, we know they're kind of hard to don't say they're hard to recycle. Just say, we are committed to the health of our planet and we recycle every Apple product we sell if you bring them back to us. Look, for example, at these AirPods. Well, we take those too.
Look at this factory full of children. I mean, full of legally aged employees using Dremels to open up the AirPods and take out the batteries.
Oh, maybe. You know what? Maybe that's what they're going to be doing to bring back jobs in America. I'm only half joking.
Yeah, that could be.
The products are already in the country, so you can do that.
Well, except for when you return yours, they won't be.
Well, I mean, the country, they could do it.
Then it becomes costly because you have to have recycling centers in every country where you have AirPods. I don't know. Thanks to all those who participate in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. All right. AirPods are on, well, they aren't right now, but they were on Patrick Beja's ears moments ago. He has them in hand. He's been using them. And, you know, I think we're all interested in how they're working for you. But beyond that, you asked when we were talking about today's show, it makes you wonder, can a wireless world work now? What needs to happen for us to hit that wireless ideal where we don't have cords littering the ground like they are in front of me right now?
So first of all, what I need to say is that the feeling of opening and closing that dental floss case of AirPods is immensely satisfying. The little magnet thing, fantastic. But you know what? I was a little bit surprised there. The lack of cable is a lot more enjoyable than I thought it would be for some reason. The pairing is really easy and everything pretty much works. So it made me think we are possibly close to a future of wireless. I'm not sure what needs to happen more, but we're possibly close, but I don't think we're quite there yet. It's still a little bit unwieldy. I think we're past the stage where it is completely annoying to have to fiddle with the connection and the disconnection and making sure you choose the right thing. And I think we're past that. I don't think we're quite at the point where it's so easy that we don't need to bother with wires at all. There were, you know, that's kind of specific to us, but there were interferences when we were trying the AirPods with the mics, things like that. But overall, in the way Apple envisions their wireless ecosystem, I think in one or maybe two generations, we might be there. There are a few standards that still need to be implemented, I think, for it to really work, and maybe you want to talk about those.
Because I think there's two main things in looking over this topic that are the, not obstacles, but the challenges to a wireless future, one of which is battery life. And we still don't have good battery life. And I think when we were talking about the MacBook Pro not getting the better battery, it's getting more and more difficult to get more battery life out of existing technology. Those batteries are, you know, glued in to the AirPods. So we need a big breakthrough in battery before this becomes able to just get past the idea of charging, right? I mean, the case is great and that helps a lot. And there's lots of nifty techniques to get around the problem. But what will be better is when you only have to charge these things once a week and they recharge from kinetic power or something like that, right? And so I think there's a lot being done on the protocol side to save battery life, specifically in Bluetooth. Bluetooth 4 was all about improving power efficiency. Bluetooth 5, which was adopted December 8th, is emphasizing range and speed. They can't do power efficiency every time if they want to do the other thing. So it's slow going there. The other thing is that connectivity, that range and speed that they're fixing in Bluetooth 5. And the adoption of protocols. Bluetooth is definitely the protocol of choice for short range connection. But there's also Wi-Fi for longer range connection. And even among Wi-Fi, there's 802.11ad, which is for high-speed wireless data transfer, like your mobile devices, your computers, even some peripherals and networking. And then there's Wi-Fi Halo, H-A-L-O-W, which is 802.11ah. That is for Internet of Things devices, wireless sensor networks, low-power stuff that needs a longer range than Bluetooth gives right now. By 2021, ABI Research thinks that 47% of all devices will have Wi-Fi in them, and 55% of those will be smartphones. So Bluetooth is going to have better adoption than Wi-Fi in some senses, but Wi-Fi is going to be the wider adopted one. Wi-Fi will be in more types of devices. So there's Y-Gig and Wi-Fi Halo. There's Bluetooth 4, Bluetooth 5. Then there's 802.15.4. That's Zigbee, Thread. You hear those? That's for energy management, smart city applications, building automation, smart lighting and industrial applications. ABI thinks that less than 9% of the market will have those by 2021. And don't forget NFC. Putting that into mobile phones and wearables is pretty much the domain of payments, but it's also pretty much the only way that wireless payments are being made these days as well. So you've got multiple protocols competing to do different aspects of these things. Those have transmission reliability issues. We still have better connections on wired connections than we do on Wi-Fi for the moment, although Wi-Fi is getting better and better. So we need to solve that. And we need to solve the power issue. So once we figure that out, Patrick, though, we'll be golden. We'll be in our wireless age.
So I don't think the power issue is as huge an issue as you think it is.
You don't think it's as huge as I think it is?
I don't think it's as huge as you say it is.
Okay, why don't you think the power issue is as bad?
Because the solution that Apple has implemented with the AirPods seems to solve most of it. You have this little compact thing that you take that's essentially a battery, and you can use it to recharge your things, which last for 5 hours, more or less. It's rare that you're going to have more than 5 hours straight listening sessions. So I think it solves, as often these things do, most cases. Wireless charging is coming, and that also helps with the batteries. You know, it's easier to put something down on a wireless charging thing than it is to plug it in all the time. Still, it's a problem, but I think it's gonna get good enough that we're gonna be able to use them. The protocols, I think, have been getting better and better, and we need all of them for different things. There's been a discussion, an active discussion in the chat room between BioCow, Beatmaster, a couple of others, saying, you know, I've been using Bluetooth headphones for 8 years, and, you know, it's always worked. And I understand that it's always worked. You know, it's worked for 10 years for some people. I used to have Jabra headphones, I think, Bluetooth headsets, which were cool, but I used to have those connection issues all the time, and the sound wasn't quite there. It was prone to interferences and things like that. Now it's a lot easier. I'm not only using the Apple thing. I'm using some wireless, you know, we see them everywhere, wireless speakers that are very common now. I think when I think about wireless, I also think about what we started at with our smartphones. You know, less than 10 years ago, maybe even 6 or 7 years ago, we used to plug them in all the time to transfer data. Now everything goes through Wi-Fi. It's very rare for us to plug them in. It's sort of a slow transition that we didn't really see coming, but it's kind of almost useless in most cases. We don't need to plug them in for data anymore. So all of these small things are working together in parallel to make the different wireless uses viable. And we're getting to the point now where I think it's the... And again, I understand that people are going to be angry with me because they've been using wireless stuff forever, but I think we're in the pre-period where it's actually viable for a wide consumer public.
Yeah, there's a few things that it hasn't got to, and I'll start with the connectivity. USB cables are still necessary. You can't do all of your connectivity wirelessly, but we're closer than ever. I will grant you that. Absolutely. It is in fact possible to live without wires if you really want to. You're going to deal with some occasional dropouts and a few more frustrations than a wire, but it's possible in a way that it wasn't 5-10 years ago. I'll grant you that. Battery wise though, and power wise, I was thinking wider than just the AirPods. But even with the AirPods, you have to think, oh, I need to put them back in the case. I'm holding it to a higher standard of when I can take my Epic Bluetooth headsets that I have now, which have a wire on them, which I'd like them to not, and I can just shove them in a pocket and I don't have to think about, oh, right, I got to put them in the case. Oh, wait, I have to charge that case. That's when I think these have reached the level power wise that I don't that are equivalent with wired, because I never have to think about charging my wired headphones. And I think that's even a bigger deal for things like laptops, phones, etc. And when you say wireless charging is coming, absolutely. If wireless charging really starts to make advances and takes off, that's one of the ways that we'll be able to get there.
So I think this you're getting your finger on a really important issue, which I'm not sure is actually ever going to be solved. The recharging of these devices, I think, is always going to have to happen somehow. You know, if we get to a week, maybe it's going to be okay. I don't see that happening in the next, you know, 10 to 15 years. And maybe there's going to be a quantum leap in battery technology that's going to enable this, but it doesn't look like, you know, it hasn't happened in the last 30. So I don't see how it could work. So can the wireless future actually happen if we still have to recharge our devices every couple of days or 3 days or so?
I mean, I think it can, but it won't fully replace the benefits of wired in all situations because of that, especially for power beyond headphones, right? It's one thing for people to say, okay, fine, I'll put up with the frustration of having to remember to charge my headphones because it's so much nicer not to have to plug them in. And Bluetooth 6 got us to the point where we just pull them out and the phone knows they're there, and it's easier than plugging them in. So it's a good trade-off. Like, I'll grant you that we're headed down that road. But yeah, we're going to have one of these hundreds of advances in battery technology that are in the labs right now catch on and give us a big exponential leap in power output. And then something like kinetic charging or wireless air charging could make it so that, yeah, we don't have to think about charging it. But you're right. That's not happening next year or the year after.
Yeah. Air charging. I like it. You know, it's just it recharges with the energy of the air. That works. You know what? There's one other thing which I think would complete the wireless future picture that we're trying to paint. It's wireless display technology. Like, if I don't need the damn cable HDMI or whatever it is between my computer or my console or my it's half the forest of cables we have behind our TVs and monitors, right? So and there have been some work in the WiDi, I think it was called at the time, the wireless display technology, but it doesn't seem to have gone anywhere. I'm not sure why exactly, but it feels like something.
Video is much harder, right? Because it's streaming.
Of course.
You can't drop a few packets and be okay. And I think that's part of the problem with it, is it just can't do the fidelity with the data it needs. And then, of course, we're seeing the beginnings of the move to 4K, which makes the problem even more difficult. So that's a matter of time before the bandwidth capability of wireless technology and the latency rate is reduced enough that we can reliably transmit video. But yeah, that's one of the harder ones to fix.
Yeah, I guess casting, you know, like Google Cast and all of these technologies do it over Wi-Fi. But the one thing that is still an issue, it's good for a TV show or movie, you know, something that doesn't require a fast latency. But on a computer, if you move your mouse and they're half a second between the time you move it and when the cursor moves on the screen, then obviously it's going to get annoying pretty quickly.
And so, if we had really good wireless video transmission, you wouldn't need a Chromecast. You need a Chromecast so that you can send the signal to the Chromecast, which is plugged into the HDMI port, right? It would be nicer if you didn't have any ports at all.
Yeah, so I think that part of our future is still a little bit farther way off. So you know what? Let's start with good wireless headphones, which are getting pretty good now. I think the technology is almost here, and let's see where we go from there.
Yeah. All right, let's get to our messages of the day. Fred writes in and says, as a longtime naysayer about consumer 3D printing, I just came across this quote that may be applicable for your show. Fred is feeling some schadenfreude today because he has been hating on 3D printing for a long time. And now he's got a quote of someone who says, one trend worth considering is the de-emphasis of the consumer and hobbyist market for desktop 3D printers. It is now evident that portion of the industry was overhyped early on and is now in a period of decline. So said Rob Connolly, vice president of additive manufacturing at Proto Labs, in an interview on designworldonline.com. I don't know why Fred feels happy about that, though, because what we wanted was 3D printing for the masses, where everybody could be able to get together and do this. And Fred being right that that's not catching on yet seems like a negative to me. Like, you know, I'm sorry you're right, because it would be better if we had lots of people able to take advantage of 3D printing that was reliable and cheap and good in their houses. And in fact, Patrick Dunn, Vice President of Advanced Application Development 3D Systems, which manufactures and sells 3D printers, said the most intriguing trend is that as a consequence of the maker movement, we're really starting to see a generation of designers coming into the industry who are familiar with the process and promise of 3D printing. They assume 3D printing technology has always existed and see it as a primary tool to solve problems rather than a specialty tool.
Well, both of those things can be true at the same time, right?
Definitely.
And Fred can be right.
Yeah, Fred gets to be right. I don't want to take that away from him. You're right.
I understand the elation in the realization that, you know, you're like, I was telling you so for years, and I get it. And quite frankly, good job. You were right, Fred. It saddens me a little bit that he was, but I have to admit, I'm starting to get on that side of the argument as well. Maybe, you know, never say never. It might happen at some point that consumer 3D printing becomes a thing. It certainly doesn't look like it is becoming a thing now. And it's been, you know, when the technology has been hyped for, let's say, 5 years, and I think that's roughly where we are with 3D printing, when we started saying, oh, it's happened, it's gonna happen, and the train has passed and we're still on the platform waiting to get on board because we don't have 3D printers in all of our homes. I think it's fair to say, right, it didn't quite take on.
That doesn't mean it won't, though. I've always compared 3D printing to PCs. And when the MakerBots first came along, I said, okay, this is the Heathkit era, right? This is the early Apple era. And lately, it's felt like we've been in the VIC-20 Commodore 64 era. And honestly, people were saying the same thing about PCs. They're like, see, we told you personal computers were going to... How many people use a personal computer? People buy these Commodore 64s and then they just shove them in the corner and they never use them. Personal computers are for business. They're for industry. They're not for people. And it took a while for PCs to penetrate the entire market. But, you know, by the early 2000s, everybody had a desktop PC. So I wouldn't bet against that on that same timeline, roughly. You know, we're talking 15 years. We may see 3D printers finally become something that most people can take advantage of.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with you, but you could also say this about almost any technology. This, you know, if it doesn't take off over the first 3 years, you could say...
Well, but so the argument then becomes, is 3D printing just something that nobody wants?
Right.
And I think it's less obvious that that's true than... I think PCs had a pretty good argument, like, I don't know that anybody wants this in their house. Who wants a computer in their house? Like, for a while, that argument had some validity to it. I think everybody would love to have a 3D printer if it was cheap and easy to use, that they could say, oh, I need to print out this replacement part or make a key copy or something like that.
Yeah, okay. You've kind of convinced me, and certainly I could see, I still can see this happening at some point if the technology gets cheap and good enough.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I'm sort of between you and Fred.
Well, thank you, Fred, and congratulations. And thank you, Patrick Beja, for joining us. What do you got going on to tell folks about?
You know what? You can go to frenchspin.com and you can listen to Pixels, which is a show about gaming. Basically, the only show about gaming you need. You'll get news every couple of weeks from the entire industry. And you can listen to the Phileas Club, where we talk about world news with people from different countries, different opinions, different cultures. Really interesting show, if I dare say so myself. Both are available at frenchspin.com.
Thanks to everybody who supports this show. If you want to find out all the ways you can support, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. Our supporters include Carlos Anzola, James Bass. Thanks to Sam Johnson, who raised their pledge. Thanks to Lisa, who bought one of these DTNS hoodies that I'm wearing with my suit coat today in some kind of fashion statement slash faux pas. You guys are the best. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Carlos, James, Sam, Lisa, and every single person who supports the show so that everyone can enjoy it. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. Back tomorrow with Scott Johnson. Talk to you then.
Frogpants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
And look, it switched flawlessly to the earpods. I did mid.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I have to say, I would never have known. Nick with a C says hoodie and a suit jacket is a solid alternative look. Thank you, Nick. You are my fashion advisor from now on.
I would agree, and I'm French, so you know.
Wow. Okay. Now I'm just doing this every day from now on.
All right. Titles.
Yeah. What do we got?
We got breaking ad. Cyclists in danger of getting run Uber.
Cyclists in danger of getting run Uber. I see.
Yeah, they're getting run over. Yeah, getting run Uber.
Oh.
Hashtag bike lanes matter. Wireless tech strikes a chord. Insta chat gram.
Wireless tech strikes a chord.
In snap to chat gram.
Snap to chat gram. Yeah.
Apple's Big Mac attack.
Why are you standing up?
Mac wave for new desktops. Yeah, like make way. Sorry, that's my neighbor's weed whacker. Uber needs a permit like the road needs a bicycle.
Do you understand that one?
Which one?
Uber needs a permit like the road needs a bicycle.
I don't get it.
Oh, I'm missing that one. And Dark Redeemer is usually I get. So I feel like I'm the dumb one here.
Well, I've got no cords to hold me down. Mac, the computer for 10% of us. That's pretty funny. Now that's what I call a sticky situation. Not Patrick is only half joking.
Ooh, I like that one.
That's funny.
Not a lot of wireless ones that I'm seeing.
Breaking ad.
Ad is pretty funny.
This is pretty impressive as well. I took them off and it switched seamlessly to the other.
To those. Wow, because that is really good.
Sorry. Yeah. Title.
I mean, wireless tech strikes a chord hits our main discussion topic really well.
Yeah.
All right. Wireless tech strikes a chord is good.
Yeah. We call it? Yeah. All right.
Calling it.
But big props to breaking ad.
Yes. Because it sums up both the intent.
Meth bot and, yeah, I like it too.
Meth botsters.
Maybe that's where the new jobs come from, since you can't have AI determine what's a
right
fake. You just have someone monitoring it.
All right, I'm going to take off, guys.
Oh, you're going to that party downstairs, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to go get my groove on.
All right. Woo! All right, thanks, Patrick.
I'm gonna put on my earring pods and party like it's 1984.
Well, I'm not going to see you again.
That's right.
So what do you say? Joyeux Noël or something?
Yeah, Joyeux Noël et bonne année. That works.
Good.
So, so I'll see you in early January. Are we doing a show? Like, is it the second?
Yeah, we're doing a show on the second. It'll be earlier, though, which I know you won't mind, probably. But we should coordinate on the time. Make sure you don't have something else scheduled. Because I need to fly to CES that day. So we'll do it earlier in the day, and then I'll fly.
And it's probably going to be a CES-focused show anyway, because all the presentations happen on Sunday and Monday, right?
No, actually, this year, CES unveiled is Tuesday night. So there'll be some announcements happening, but it'll be the first day of the CES stuff really breaking.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. Excellent. Thank you. Thanks, Roger. I can see you in the background. Thanks, Ellie.
Bye.
All right. Happy holidays, guys.
Thanks, you
too. Happy holidays, chat room. Bye.
Cool.
Well, you've got Ellie. Patrick's gone. I think we might call the video early today.
Yes.
But thanks everybody for watching. And the show will be up shortly for audio listeners who are watching live. And we will see you tomorrow with Mr. Scott Johnson. Joy to you.